Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you this morning, and we will praise you this morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, all the day long. May we truly exercise ourselves in praising the Lord this entire day. Hallelujah. Praise waiteth for thee, O Lord, in our lives today. Bring reasons our way to praise the Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this community of walking with God and how you have brought us together with singleness of heart, with one mind and one purpose. We give you honor and praise. This morning, Lord, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Cause that light, Lord, to shine in our hearts today, giving revelation, knowledge, and understanding. We pray for the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to inspire not only our mouths to speak, but our minds to understand. In the name of Jesus, glory to God. Amen and amen. Well, again, welcome. I'm going to get into it right away. We're in the book of James, a deep dive study into the book of James. Well, that means deep dive means, you know, we can be on one subject for quite a while, on just one topic. Something that we read in the book may trigger some discussions, and we're going to take our time. There's no need to hurry. The book itself is a complex book, so we're going to take our time through it. This is day three so far, and I believe we've, you know, only gotten into the first eight verses. The lesson we did yesterday also triggered a lot of discussion. Very good discussion, by the way. The lesson that I gave, I didn't get to finish it on account of time. So I said, well, I'll just continue today. So we were talking about faith and wisdom yesterday, the right balance. And today I want to talk some more about faith and wisdom in the area of health, healing, and wellness. So the title of the room today was a bit shortened because of how much space you have to write the title. But, you know, faith and wisdom can be used for healing, for health, and for wellness. And we'll see how they all relate together. But I titled this way just to catch your attention. Faith for healing, wisdom for health and wellness. Not enough space to put all that there, but faith, as we have been talking through in this series, and also before, you know that faith, if you use it right, you can get whatsoever you say. That's what Jesus said. If you do not doubt it in your heart. And so we're going to share some scriptures based on faith for healing. Now, this assumes that you need healing. We can also have faith for divine health. That's right. And faith for wellness. You can also use your faith to believe that you will not be sick and that you will be in health. Many promises in the scriptures along those lines. So we're going to look at some of those verses in the Bible. It's a good thing. In fact, it's absolutely paramount in our lives for us to exercise faith in everything. Whether it is that when you are needing healing, or even whether it is for you to stay well and be healthy, you know, we can use our faith for all those things. If you don't believe that God can keep you healthy, Well, you may run into different situations of illnesses and so on. But along with that belief comes the use of wisdom sometimes of what we must do. So yes, let's believe that God can heal us. Let's believe that God can keep us in health and in wellness. But let's see what wisdom speaks concerning our own responsibilities in this area. So that's kind of like a telling you what I'm going to tell you kind of introduction in this particular lesson. As I said, we got a lot of scriptures to share. I'll see how much of it we can cover today. Let's start out with God's promises for your healing. I've got several here. I'm going to try to go through them quickly. There are many places throughout the Bible where God promises healing or promises that, you know, sickness and disease shall not come to us and so on. So let me just try to go through from Genesis clear on through the, from Old to New Testament. Not in any particular order or significance, more like, you know, maybe just going through the scriptures. In Exodus, we start off in Exodus chapter 11, verse 5, the story of the children of Israel in Egypt, God wanting to bring them out. And we've covered that story quite a bit in on this platform. In this particular verse of Exodus 11 and 5, the Lord says he is going to put a difference between his people and the children of, the children of Israel and the Egyptians. He's going to put a difference. And the way the Lord, the context in which the Lord was saying it, that all the plagues and the different things that are coming upon Egypt, you know, God was not going to allow any of that to come, you know, upon the children of Israel. So here is what the Lord said. He said, you know, context here. The Lord said, there shall be a great cry throughout all of the land of Egypt, such as, you know, there was none like it, nor shall there be any like it anymore. Now, but against the children of Israel, shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that ye may know that how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. That's Exodus chapter 11 and verse 7. How the Lord does put a difference. I might have said verse 5 initially, but it's verse 7. How the Lord doth put a difference between Egyptians and his people. So all the plagues and the different things that the Lord brought upon them, God's promise to us is that he will put a difference between us and the rest of the world. And I remember, you know, in contemporary times, just lately, just not too long ago, in the year of the COVID, the Lord spoke that word to me point blank at the beginning of the year in January 2020. Didn't know anything about COVID at the time, you know, but just waiting on the Lord. Well, what word shall I give to your people to encourage them for this year? And the Lord said, well, you know, there's coming calamities and different things of pestilence upon the world. Didn't use the word COVID. I didn't know anything about it. But he said, but I will make a differentiation. And that was the word at that time. a differentiation between my people and the rest of the world. And later on, a few months later on, we found out about COVID, and I called to remembrance the word of the Lord that on the first day of the year, we use that to encourage ourselves that God will protect us through the pandemic. You know, the word pandemic was not used in the word that the Lord gave me, but it turned out to be the case that the Lord actually did protect his people. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Well, Exodus 15 and 26, I believe that one is a popular verse, and we've talked about it during the times we were doing standing on the promises of God and using the word of God, you know, and so on and so forth. And this promise, although carries some conditions, very, very powerful, you know, and it's similar to, you know, the same thing that we just read. The Lord, you know, challenged them with four different things that if they would do, then he said he would not, you know, put these things upon them that came upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, that's number one. And if thou wilt do that which is right in his sight, that's number two. That's your responsibilities. And if thou wilt give ear to his commandments, that's number three. And if thou wilt keep all his statutes, that's number four. And I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. So that's all similar to the one we just read in Exodus 11. The Lord is giving us a cover or a covering here. You know, the sicknesses will be out there, but he's saying it won't be upon you, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. So this gives us an indication that in God's mind, healing is more than just healing you when you're already sick. You know, as far as God is concerned, healing can also be, you know, protecting you from getting sick in the first place. Now that's what he's saying here. You know, he's saying that, look, I will not put these illnesses and diseases upon you, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. I mean, not that when the sicknesses and diseases come upon you, then I will heal you. That's not what he said. He said, I will not put any of these things upon you, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. So in God's mind, you know, even though I'm arranging this lesson like this, just to help us remember it, as far as God is concerned, healing covers everything. Healing covers when you are actually already sick. And healing, as far as God is concerned, covers keeping you in health and wellness. And, you know, it also covers, you know, you from getting sick in the first place. This is what God is saying. It's all, this one verse is so powerful, it's all inclusive. Yeah, perhaps you've never thought of it like that, but see it the way that we are sharing this morning. In God's mind, this healing that he's promising here is not just to heal you when you're already sick, but is also to even prevent those things from coming on you in the first place. So he can do all that. And we're going to see, you know, some of our responsibilities in believing a scripture like this. Well, it's got to be faith, you know, to believe what God said. And then there may be some wisdom that the Lord would drop into your mind, inspire into your spirit on how, you know, to get health and stay healthy. And how to be in wellness. All these things are in the scriptures. Let's try to discover some of them through these lessons. You know, still talking about God not, you know, allowing sickness upon us or taking sickness from us. Here's another one. Exodus 23 verse 25. We'll see that in this book of Exodus, the Lord was giving them, well, not just Exodus and Deuteronomy and other places, but, you know, in this their journey of coming out of Egypt and, you know, God trying to deal with them as a nation and so on, God was giving them many promises. Exodus 23 and 25 also says, you know, I will take all the sicknesses away from the midst of you. You know, And here is how he said it. You know, there's always some condition, though. I mean, in this case, he talks about them serving the Lord. He said, look, and ye shall serve the Lord your God. It's the same thing as obeying his voice, doing his commandments and so on. You know, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take away sickness from the midst of thee. Now, blessing your bread and water may be the means by which he would take away sickness from the midst of thee in this blessing. So, you know, you might think of it as God will show you how to eat healthy. So bless your bread and water. I mean, why is he talking about bread and water? That's what you eat and drink. You know, that's what you put in your mouth. He said, I will bless it, you know, so that, you know, I will take sickness away from you. So if you read this with the insight and inspiration from the Lord, you might see that what he's saying here is that, you know, the midst of thee, that's like the congregation, right? You know, but also you can look at it literally from your internals. You know, if you put the right thing into your body, you know, then, you know, you can prevent sickness. So there's, this scripture can be multidimensional. Remember, the word of God is beautiful for every situation. I mean, if you can believe it, you can use it, you know, for yourself. So we see in these three verses that we've read so far that God is promising wellness, healing, health, and so on. And, but there are certain things that we must do. You know, make sure that your bread is blessed. Make sure that your water is blessed. You know, what you eat and drink is important in the, you know, this removal of sickness from the midst of you. We'll get into that. And also here in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 15, again, the Lord saying the same kind of thing. I mean, how many times is he going to say this? You know, but, you know, he's making sure that they get the message. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness. That's right. And he will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which you know. I mean, what are those diseases that we know about? In fact, if I tell people to give an, you know, say something about disease, people know a lot of diseases. And I know that there were so many diseases that I did not know until I came to the United States. When I was a young man, you know, I didn't know any of these things. I mean, I was living in health. I was in wellness. I had my faith with me, and I was not too much surrounded by sickness and so on. You know, but when I came into this country, my goodness, everywhere you turned, people were talking about being sick. It seemed as if people even glorified the sickness. I mean, people will be talking about their illness. A perfect stranger, I mean, will talk to you about the sickness they have, what they are going through. I mean, I was like, what kind of place is this? You know, I was more used to just believing God for, you know, not even talking about those negative things. But I learned quickly the names of so many sicknesses that I didn't know just from talking to random people that I didn't even know. You know, and so now, but now I know. He said, well, the Lord said, well, all these sicknesses, you know, there's diabetes, you know, there is high blood pressure, you know, there is stress, there's a, you know, stroke, there's, you know, all kinds of cancers, cancer of the blood, you know, cancer of the kidney, you know, cancer of the liver. I mean, you know, there's all these things. There's lymphoma, there's this and that. I mean, I mean, you name it. Now, all these sicknesses are out there. You know, sicknesses in the eyes, sicknesses in the ears, sicknesses in the internal organs. It's just all kinds of things that, you know, that you can name these days. Well, the Lord said, all these sicknesses, which you know, or even may not know, but particularly the ones you know, call them by their name. I will not, you know, put them upon you, but I will lay them upon them that hate you, upon the devil there is. Wow, my goodness, this is powerful. Well, you know, that was the way God said those, some of those things in the Old Testament. But, you know, name the name of this thickness, any name it has. There is one overriding, powerful declaration that God gave us concerning the name of Jesus in the book of Philippians, you know, chapter 2, where it says that God has highly exalted Christ, you know, giving him a name because of his obedience and so forth. Philippians chapter 2, Philippians 2 and 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. So the names of all these sicknesses and diseases, I've named just a few, but you know, people know a lot, whole lot more. You know, there could be autism, there can be arthritis, there can be Parkinson's disease, there could be any number of things. And thus, we have a lot of medical people on this platform. You guys know a whole lot more than I do. Well, whatever name it is named, and when your doctor gives it a name, now you know the name. Hallelujah. So you bring the name under Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9. It has a name. Therefore, the name of Jesus is greater. Now, if it hasn't a name, maybe we don't know the name and so forth. But knowing the name is a good thing, because now you know what you're dealing with. That's all there is to it. We don't need to be afraid of any name that they may name it. People don't even like to pronounce the word cancer. I know I don't, because it's a deadly disease. But it does have a name, you know. And what, as long as it has a name, call it anything, the medical science call it anything, it has a name, the name of Jesus is higher. Amen, amen, and amen. Because someone can say amen to that. The name of Jesus is higher than any name. And the Lord said, look, all these names, these diseases and so forth, call them anything you want. The world may have called them anything you want. They want it. He said, look, it has a name. The name of Jesus is higher. So let's just take a minute. I mean, I don't want to rush through this. I want this to sink in. Let's take a minute. What is the, well, we're not talking of all the problems that we may be experiencing in our lives. This particular lesson is in the area of health, healing, and wellness. Okay. So what is the sickness? What is the ill health that you may have? It might be a diagnosis from the doctor. Well, the good thing about it is they give it a name. You know, whatever name they call it, you know. So now, it has a name. That disease has a name. So according to Deuteronomy 7 and 15 and also Philippians 2 and 9, we put those two scriptures together. I say, look, all these sicknesses that are named, which you know. Now you know it because medical science told you or your doctor gave you a bill or something. I mean, an evil report or whatever, handwriting of something. Now it has a name. So we now bring that name to Philippians 2 and 9 and say, Lord, yeah, this thing has a name. Well, here's your word. The name of Jesus, higher than that name. Oh, my goodness. Now, if you can comprehend that, well, you can begin to use it to get your victory for yourself and for your loved ones. If it has a name, the name of Jesus is higher. So, you know, we've seen these powerful promises in Exodus and Deuteronomy so far. But here's another good one. The Lord sent his word and healed them. Psalm 107 verse 20. Now, remember, we're talking about God's promises around your healing, your health, and your wellness. You know, so to God, it's the same thing. The purpose of God is for you to be in, you know, health and have wellness. So if you are sick, he will heal you. If you are well, he will keep you well. These are the things that, you know, God does. You know, if you are well, he will keep the sickness from you. If you already have sickness, he will remove it. He will heal it, you know, and so on and so forth. So that's what we're going through. We will read through all the promises of God and we will read through, you know, whether they are for health, healing, or wellness. And then we will discuss our own responsibilities as well. You know, we have a responsibility in everything that we do, there's always a responsibility, you know. I mean, everything we do with God is what I mean. There's a responsibility. Even in salvation, there's a responsibility on our part. We must believe. And not only that, we must repent. People don't like to repent. Well, you can't be saved if you don't repent. Say, repent ye and be converted and believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We got to repent. Actually, that's another teaching that is very rare these days. People don't teach and preach repentance and forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus. This is the way it was taught in the early church. You know, so if we don't repent and we don't believe, we can't be saved, even though God's already made provision. So there's always our responsibility, even in the things that God offers, you know. So let us be aware of that. Praise the Lord. I want to also tell you that, you know, the Lord, even in covenants that he makes, that are, you know, things that he pronounces, he would say things like this, you know, that there's responsibility that we have, you know. For instance, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 19, you know, and, you know, 20, he says, look, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. So, but you notice that the seal is two parts. There are two parts to the seal in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. The first part is the Lord knows them that are his. That's the first part. But it's a two-part covenant. It's actually a two-part seal. Before the world began, the Lord already even knew them. You know, chosen in the Lord, you know, chosen in the beloved, sealed before the world began. The Lamb died for them before the world began. Us, really, because I put myself in the mix. But then there is our part. See, the Lord knows them that are his. And then the second part, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So that's salvation right there for you. You know, God will save you, but you must depart from iniquity. So the same thing is this. Look, God will heal you. God will keep you in wellness, but you must do certain things on your part to stay healthy and to remain in, you know, in wellness. You know, so God wants you to get healed, get well, and stay healthy and stay well. You know, so, all right. So we've seen that there are responsibilities that we have. Even though God may declare his own part, we have our own responsibilities. And we're going to get to that. But let's look at some of these promises. God sent his word and healed them. Psalm 107 verse 20. This one is a part that God can do that we can't do for ourselves. Well, when we are sick, God can heal us. I mean, Jesus himself said, look, it is the sick, you know, that needs a physician, you know. But, I mean, if you're sick, you need a physician. Well, we'll get to that also. Okay, but let's look at a few more of these promises. The scripture says that not only, you know, this God sending his word and healing them, you know, healing from God can be for physical illness. It can also be for brokenheartedness, which in some cases may be depression. It could be for mental illness. It could be for anything, you know. So you name it, the word of God can heal it all. Now, in the book of Psalms 147 and verse 3, we see that God, you know, can heal even the brokenhearted and their wounds. I mean, brokenheartedness sometimes can be even looked at as depression. It could lead to even mental illness. It could be anything. I mean, there's all kinds of things we're dealing with in this generation these days. But the Word of God gives us these promises that we're looking at today. Precious, precious promises. You can take them and use them for yourself or for your loved ones, you know, when these things, you know, come against you, or when you are up against, you know, these areas of ill health and different things. It could be ill health physically, mentally, emotionally, what have you. And the Lord, you know, say he healed the broken in heart. So he can heal that too. And bind it up their wounds. And that reminds me of, you know, the prophecy that was given about the Christ in Isaiah 61, which actually Jesus stepped into the temple, actually, or synagogue, and took the book of Isaiah, found a place where it was written, and he said, quoted those things, and then closed the book, gave it to back to the minister. In Isaiah 61, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. So this Lord's Spirit gives us, you know, there's anointing to heal different things. I mean, there are many things that it says in that Isaiah 61, you know, many things that can be healed. And you can add more to the list too if you want. You know, anything that we can believe for, you know, we can get it. But here are at least, you know, some things that he says. And there's one all-encompassing statement in there as well. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. Well, you have to give them good tidings for them to believe it. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. That's it right there again. You know, heal the brokenness in heart, the depression, mental illness, all of that. Proclaim liberty to the captives. That covers just about everything. You know, liberty from sickness, from disease, from oppression of the devil. I mean, we're told in Acts 4 and 38, you know, I mean, Acts 10 and 38, sorry, how that God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, according to the scripture, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So he can heal all manners of things. You know, these are the promises of God concerning our healing, our health, and our wellness. Well, let's continue. We see also that for Jesus, the ministry, his ministry as healer was prophesied in the book of Isaiah chapter 53, before he even came. You know, the sacrificial lamb was described in that chapter. You know, how that, you know, he will be led and so on. And surely he who has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Isaiah 53 verse 4. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. Verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisements of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And Isaiah was prophesying these things. You might see that even our peace, that we might have peace. Jesus was beaten, badly beaten for your peace. You know, people always think that Jesus was beaten only that we might be healed, but it was his wounds that healed us, but it was his beating that gave us peace. It says right here, the chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. So anytime you're thinking of, you know, healed by the stripes of Jesus, remember also that before he got those stripes, he was beaten. And it's our, for our peace. God wants us to have peace as well. Jesus paid for it all. Not just healing, he paid for our peace. You know, all that beating they laid upon him was for your peace too. Hallelujah. And we've been talking about peace and patience and all of that, you know, over the last few days. You know, so these are some of the things that the Lord promised. Now, fast forward to 1 Peter 2 and 24. This scripture was fulfilled in Christ. Peter now recounting this thing, but he used the past tense. Here, Isaiah uses, you know, the present or future tense. you know, because he's prophesying it. But Peter is now saying it's already happened. You know, he said, you know, that we were already healed. And that's a powerful revelation in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. If we see it that way, he said, look, Christ, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judged righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. Hallelujah. By whose stripes ye were healed. Yeah, so this is Peter after the cross now, talking about our healing, which Christ already purchased for us. He uses the past tense, which means we already have that healing. Praise the Lord. So a lot of promises from the Lord about our healing. Here are a few more. You know, in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, verse 14, this is the prophet praying. He said, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Well, that's a declaration, you know, that you can, you know, go to the Lord. When the Lord does something, he does it well. Whatsoever the Lord doeth, it shall be forever. You cannot take away from it. You know, you can only take away from it if it wasn't the Lord that did it. You can only add to it if it wasn't the Lord that did it. But if it was the Lord that did it, then you can't touch it. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, you know, verses 14 and 15 will tell you that. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. If the Lord heals you, you're healed. And Jesus will tell them, go. You know, you're healed. Go thy way. And that's it. And they are healed. You know, nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it. You know, so that we should fear before him. You know, he does it. You can't, you know, things that are past, present, future with God, it's all the same. There's no such thing. It's eternal. The past, the today, the future, it's all the same with God. Even the past, I mean, even the present with him is already past. He's already there, you know. And so you can't take away from it. When God heals you, you are healed. I mean, that's the end of the matter. You are healed. God promises us to heal our wounds, restore health unto us. Jeremiah 30:17. We've been using this in the case of a brother that's been sick. I mean, or being hospitalized, not really sick, but, you know, got into, knocked over by a car and so forth. You know, we've been using this scripture. The Lord said, look, I will restore health unto you and I will heal you of your wounds. These are God's promises. Jeremiah 30 and 17. You know, so let's believe God for these promises. This is a part on, I mean, these are the things that he will do on his part. We're going to get into what we should do on our part. Here are a few more promises. God says unto them that fear my name, Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2, will the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Well, we never knew that the Son, S-U-N, has wings. But here is like, look, when he's rising over you, he's spreading out his hands, you know, under his wings, he'll cover you with his wings and his feathers and all that you will trust. Psalm 91 talks about these things. But the Son of Righteousness, you know, here it's a promise for those that fear the Lord. Do you fear the Lord? Well, then healing is yours. Unto them that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Well, let's look at when Jesus came, how he did some of these things. Many scriptures where we're told that Jesus healed them all. You know, Matthew chapter 8, verses 16 and 17, we're told that at eventide, they brought unto him, you know, all kinds of people who were sick, devils and different things. And, you know, he healed them all. And they said, well, the reason he did that was so that he could fulfill this prophecy of Isaiah, that himself, you know, bear our sicknesses and diseases. So he healed them all, that he might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. Himself took our infirmities and bear our sicknesses. He healed them all, you know, all that were sick. Now, the only people that Jesus didn't heal that were sick are the people they did not bring to him. Or in some cases, we're told that, well, he couldn't do many great works there because of their unbelief. But, you know, most of the time when they brought the people to him, he healed them all. He healed them all. So if we come to Jesus, you know, with whatever the sickness or the illness is for us, our loved ones, our brothers and our sisters, Jesus will do the same today. Hebrews 13 and 8 tells us Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he did it before, he'll do it again. Luke chapter 4, verse 40 also tells us the same thing. They brought unto Jesus many, you know, that were taken with different kinds of palsies and demonic spirits and all, you know. I mean, he would rebuke the fever if there was a fever. Simon's wife's mother, his mother-in-law, basically, would rebuke the fever. I mean, he would, and then, you know, later on, they brought, you know, in the evening, they brought, you know, some people to him. And all that was sick with diverse diseases. That's the way that Luke brought it out. Diverse diseases were brought to him. And laid hands on every one of them and healed them. And even the devils also came out of many, crying out, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of God." And he rebuked them, "Be quiet." Because, you know, these devils know who he was. But Jesus wasn't about wanting to be known. So he would tell the devils, "Shut up, be quiet." You know. But he healed them all. So please, let's take notice of those things. Now, in the book of Matthew chapter 8, this same chapter we just read, if you go back to the earlier part of the verse of the chapter in verses 2 and 3, you will see a lesson here where we can deduce that it is God's will for us to be healed. Now, sometimes people say, well, maybe it's God's will, maybe it's not God's will. Ladies and gentlemen, this man came to Christ and, you know, he made a petition, you know, kind of wishy-washy like we do too sometimes. He said, well, you know, first he came and worshiped me and he said, Lord, if thou wilt, I mean, if it's your will, you can make me clean. Like, this is the way sometimes many of us pray because we don't even know his will. So we come, we say, well, you know, Lord, maybe it's your will, then maybe I'll be healed. And if it's not your will, you know, then maybe I won't be healed. Or you are praying for a loved one or a brother or a sister. And we use this kind of prayer. I mean, it's sad that we don't even know God's will. Jesus said to the man here, point blank, I will be thou clean. You know, it's no question of if it be thy will. If it wasn't his will, why would he pay the price for our healing? Why would he go about doing good healing all that were oppressed of the devil? Why would he do all those things if it wasn't our will? Why would he say in 3 John verse 2, I wish above all things that they prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. This is God's will. Jesus said, I will. The man wasn't sure. I mean, he was going to, quote unquote, carry his cross, right? Maybe he thought, well, maybe this, you know, this leprosy is my cross. How in the world can that be your cross? That's an affliction of the devil. You know, this is the reason, you know, that Jesus came. In 1 John chapter 3, we're told that Jesus came that he might destroy the works of the devil. I mean, these works like sicknesses and so on and so forth. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested. 1 John 3 and 8. That he might destroy the works of the devil. These things are the works of the devil. Don't ever think in your mind that, well, maybe it's God's will that somebody should be sick. Why should it be God's will that you should be sick? Unless you are not a kingdom citizen, you know, he will be doing the disservice to his own name, you know, not protecting his own citizens if he will want you to be sick. I mean, what's up with that? No, you know, God wants us to be well, and he wants us to be healed. Now, are we always well just because God wants it? No. Are we always healed just because God wants it? No. The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish. He wants all to be saved. Well, is everybody saved just because God wants that? No. God wants us these good things, but, you know, well, there's some parts that we must do. Not everybody is saved just because God wants everybody to be saved. A lot of people are not saved. The same way God wants you to be healed and be in health, a lot of people are not healed and they are not in health. You know, but we've got to figure out how to be healed and how to be in health and stay healthy. Got to figure it out. So we will be using our faith to believe all these things. And then there's also wisdom that we must use. So this is part of the faith and wisdom balance. So today it's about health and wellness. All that we've been talking about so far is using our faith to get the promises of God. Well, we're going to come into the part where we must use our wisdom as well. Let me give you a few more promises real quickly. Christ went about healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. I told you that earlier. Well, if he did it then, he still wants to do it now. Hebrews 13 and 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what is God's prescription when you are sick? When you are sick, well, this same James that always likes to call things the way they are, he wrote in James chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, when you are sick, this is God's prescription. Call for the elders of the church. Now, if you are not in any church, well, you are at a disadvantage already. But if you are a member of a local body, call for the elders of that church. You know, that's what the Bible says. And let them pray over the sick. Lay their hands, anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. I mean, God promises these things. You know, and I know my wife and I, we always, you know, try to follow that. Say, look, you're sick. Call for the elders of the church. There's other places too that you can use some other scriptures, like Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, you know, these signs shall follow them that believe, you know, lay their hands on the sick and the sick will recover. So we use those scriptures, you know, let someone that has some faith lay hands on you and you will be healed. You know, let the elders of the church lay hands on you, anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord and you will be healed. I mean, you do these things, you know, look. We will be healed. Praise God. You know, and God even said, look, it's not a matter of, you know, sometimes we hide behind, well, the person didn't believe. That's why they were not, healed. Well, what about you? You know, why can't you believe for them? I mean, we've seen stories in the Bible where someone was healed. Not because of their own faith, but because of the faith, you know, of the, you know, their friends or whatever, you know. I mean, and most of the time when Jesus healed people, on a few occasions, he would ask them after the fact, you believe in the Son of Man? But, you know, most of the time, sometimes he would just heal them first. And then he asked them questions later. You know, so let's not hide behind this. Well, maybe they didn't have faith to be healed, you know, but if you have faith, you know, you can actually create a situation that the person, you know, that needs healing can be healed by your faith. You know, now there's a story in the Bible, in many of the Gospels. It's in Mark chapter 2. It's in John chapter 8 somewhere. And I believe it might even be in Luke chapter 5 somewhere. You know, I mean, in this story, in Luke chapter 5, you know, we're told that the power of the Lord was present to heal on one particular day. Luke chapter 5, you can read verse 17. And it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were, you know, Pharisees, doctors of the law and so forth. You know, and the power of the Lord was present to you. Now, when the power of the Lord is present to you, wow. You know, so we see this story. If you read it in this place and other places, you'll find that it was, you know, some friends that brought this man because they could not get in to him because of the multitude. I mean, they were trying to get in, but there was a lot of people there and they couldn't make their way. And because they're also carrying a bed, it was, I mean, difficult for them to make it through the crowd. So they went up on the rooftop. Some of you might know that story. Tore the roof and laid this man down, you know, in the midst where Jesus was at. And here's what, you know, we're told that Jesus did in Luke chapter 5, verse 20. And when he saw their faith, I mean, this is vicarious faith, faith on the behalf of somebody else. You know, sometimes a person that is incapacitated cannot even have faith to believe anything. Maybe they have faith stored up, but at that moment, they can't believe anything because they can't even pray. You know, they're out of it. And somebody believing on their behalf, you know, now. These his friends were believing on his behalf. You know, so enough of hiding behind the fact that somebody didn't believe, that's why they didn't get healed. You know, well, and he says, call for the elders of the church. The prayer of faith. The faith of the elders is what is going to heal the sick. Not whether the person that is, you know, being prayed for has faith or not, or they should. You know, we're people of faith anyway, but that's not the point. The point is the faith of the person that's praying for you. Now, you got to have confidence, of course, in their prayer. You know, like the woman said, look, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. I mean, you just have this confidence that if you can just pray, you know, if he can just lay his hands on me, if he can just do this. I mean, you just psych yourself up, if you want to use that word, to believe for that moment. I know, God honor the faith. You know, so there are many things like that in scriptures. But Jesus, you know, it was his will to heal people. And Jesus healed even when the person could not believe too much for themselves, but because of others that believe for them. You know, so now, let me read a few verses that God promises us to be in health and wellness. In health and wellness. You know, and he promises certain things like Isaiah 33 and 24. This is for kingdom citizens. He says the inhabitants of the kingdom will not say, I am sick. Well, don't say it. You may truly be sick, but, you know, he's saying that, look, you will be in health, is what he's saying. There'll be no need for you to say you're sick. Now, if you are sick, he'll heal you. But, you know, for the most part, you can't be in a situation where you are not sick. You know, you will not be saying, I'm sick. And, you know, this is not the negative posture that we should be declaring all the time. And some people just like to call sicknesses over themselves. I'm sick. I have this. I have that. You don't have anything. Don't say you have this sickness. Don't even name it that way. Inhabitants of the kingdom shall not say, I am sick. And say, I'm sick. I have cancer. I have COVID. I have this. I have that. No, you do not. Praise the Lord. Those things may come to afflict you, but don't own them. Don't say you own the sickness. You have it. You don't have it. The inhabitants of the land, the kingdom, the city, that place that God has chosen to put his name there, the inhabitants will not say that I am sick. Now, God wants us to be well. We've seen that in 3 John verse 2. He also says in Jeremiah 8:22, you know, God wants us to be well. He said, look, is there no balm in Gilead? Are there no physicians there? Why then is the health of the daughter of my people not recovered? I mean, why are you not healed then? Why are you not in wellness? I mean, is there nobody to help you? Don't you even have any medicines? You know, so God is talking, you know, rhetorically here. And he knows that there are doctors there. He knows that they have this, you know, ointment, you know, this balm, you know, I can heal them and so on. You know, so he's saying, why are you not healed? Well, okay. Is the Lord the healer not with you? Why then are you not healed? Are you not a kingdom citizen? Why then are you often saying that I'm sick? Do you not fear the Lord? Why then has not the Son of Righteousness arisen upon you with healing in his wings? Etc., etc., etc. You know, so it is God's will for us to be in health. Now, he promises also in Jeremiah 33:6. This one I want to read because it's not only about, you know, sickness. I mean, healing, it's also about abundance of peace and so on. So let me just get to it quickly here and read it. Jeremiah 33:6. It says, I will bring, you know, it's talking about the city, you know, the city. The people that dwell in that city is what makes up the city. I will bring to it, which means the inhabitants thereof, health and cure. And I will cure them. That's right. And will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. Yeah, well, this is what God wants. He wants to also cleanse them from all their iniquity, which they have sinned against me and so forth. You know, and he said, look, there's going to be, shall be to me a name of joy, a praise and an honor before all the nations of the earth. And which shall hear of all the good that I do unto them. And they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all the prosperity that I shall procure unto the people of the Lord when he returns them from their captivity. So I'll cause the captivity of Judah to return, and I will build them as at the first. All these lessons are in Jeremiah 33:6-9. Cause your captivity to return, heal you, bring you abundance of peace and truth. You know, even say, look, I will even cleanse them from their iniquity. And I will even pardon all their iniquities. You know, and so forth. And they will be to me the name of joy, a praise and an honor. Now, this is what God wants. So when he brings healing to us, he brings in praise, brings honor, even before the doctors that give you up and say, well, you know, he's not going to make it. Pull the plug. Well, when the Lord brings the healing, he will get himself honor and glory and renown in the presence, you know, and before all the people that thought otherwise. He will do it too, when they shall see and hear of the good that I will do unto them, and they shall fear and tremble all the goodness and that prosperity that I will procure unto my people. So powerful, powerful promises in that Jeremiah 33. Okay, let me move on here. Time is moving. Time doesn't wait for anybody, you know. The fear of the Lord. There's always a blessing with that. The fear of the Lord will cause you to inherit health. It says in Proverbs 3:7-8, the fear of the Lord and to depart from evil will bring health to your bones, to your marrows, to your navel, in your insides. You know, as internal medicine, you know, that deals with things going on your insides. Well, it says the fear of the Lord and to depart from evil there will bring even health to your navel on the insides, you know, health to your bones, osteoporosis and all these things. They are no match for the fear of the Lord and for you to depart from evil. You know, God heal all those things. Hallelujah. You know, because of the fear of the Lord and departing from evil. Now, these are promises. All of these that I've read are God's promises for your health, for your healing, and for your wellness. Praise the Lord. Now, the next part of this, and I may have to continue tomorrow, but I'll get into it a bit. The next part of it is our responsibility for our health and wellness. And I say it this way, your responsibility for your health and your wellness. You know, so there are certain things, you know, that we are going to discuss here. And I'm not an expert. I'm not a nutritionist or anything. I'm just going to say what I find in the Word of God. You know, but in the beginning, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 29, God, you know, showed us the pattern of things that he actually wanted. Until this day, you know, some people do a better job than most. You know, in my family, my wife does a better job at this, a whole lot better than myself, in eating greens and vegetables and things like that. You know, but here's the way God put it out in the beginning. God said in verse 29 of Genesis 1, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which there is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. Now, what was God's meat initially? Meat here is also food, but you know, what was God's meat initially? Well, greens, vegetables, fruit, and all these things. That's what he's talking about here. You know, and even to the beast of the field, he also gave them vegetation to eat, he said. But for us, he gave us these things. You know, he also gave them, you know, the tree of life. You know, the leaves of the tree of the life were to be for the healing of the nations. They didn't get to it, but we see that it came back in Revelation chapter 22. But anyway, you know, God gave these things. Now, it wasn't until after the flood that he actually, you know, said, well, okay, it's okay for you to eat some meat. I mean, like animals and stuff. But, you know, originally he wanted us to eat these greens and these things and so forth. Now, am I saying that everybody should be a vegetarian? There's no such thing. You know, I'm not saying any such thing. You know, we see in the New Testament, we see places where Peter in Acts chapter 10, you know, there was this vision that he had multiple times, all kinds of four, you know, footed beasts and things, which God used to tell them, you know, not to eat before. And he was told to rise up and eat it. And God said, look, don't call anything unclean, which I've called clean, because he was trying to teach him a lesson. It wasn't really about animals. But we see in that vision, he was asked to rise up and kill and eat. And we see that Jesus, you know, many times he said, have you any meat? And they brought fish and bread and so forth. And Jesus blessed it and they ate. You know, so, you know, I'm not talking about, you know, being a vegetarian or anything, but I'm saying that there are some healthy things. And there are people that know more about this in this room than I do. And when we get to it, perhaps tomorrow, they can share their thoughts. Let me just lay this background. We have my lesson today that I'm giving is we have certain responsibilities, you know, to take care of our body, you know, because why is it so? Well, our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6 verses 19 to 20, you know, and scripture says, look, if you defile that temple, you might incur the wrath of God. So be careful now, you know, that, look, the temple is our body, rather, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, of course, not just bad food would defile it. We know things like fornication and adultery and so forth, talked about, you know, that would defile it as well. But, you know, every part, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? So in this place, talking about fornication with a harlot. But generally speaking, every, you know, it says, Know ye not, in verse 19, that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, which you have in you, and you are of God and not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, we know he was talking about fornication and so forth in this place, harlots and harlotry and that. But scripture is true, too, because it talks about meats, talks about the belly for meats in this same chapter. So the lesson here is our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. No man yet ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it. So we're supposed to nourish this body and cherish it. You know, again, in Daniel chapter 1, we see a story in verses 8 through 16. We're told that Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the king's, what you might call, dainty meats. You know, when the king had selected the people he wanted who were skilled in science and understanding and the ability to learn the language of the, you know, these people and so forth. You know, we talked about that the other day. Then the king ordered that the chamberlain should feed them so that they will be fresh and robust looking and everything. But Daniel proposed in his heart that I'm not going to defile myself with those meats. Give me paws like beans, you know, give me like, you know, greens, you know, give me all those kind of things, you know, that I can eat, you know, and, you know, well, the man said, no, I can't do that because the king ordered us this way. And if you don't look good, they'll be upon me. And, you know, Daniel said, look, I guarantee you, we will look good. Just give us this and try us out. You know, just 10 days. And he convinced his companions also. He spoke to them. They all said, yeah. You know, and I said, well, you know, give us just 10 days. If after 10 days, you know, you look at us and compare us with those that you are feeding the other way, and if we don't fare as well as they do, then fine. But if we do, then give us the desire of our heart to eat what we want and not these other stuff. And what they chose, green beans, green peas, you know, all the various things, you know, paws and so forth, vegetables and things that they chose, the things they knew that had some cleansing. And these people had knowledge of science, you know, so they knew certain things. They knew certainly, you know, foods that had cleansing and healing power. And those are the ones that Daniel chose. Now, knowledge has increased today, and we know many more things about many other foods and so forth that have healing power, you know, and cleansing power, the ability to revive things. We know those things today. And some of you, many of you in this room know these things. And, you know, some of you have been practicing it. You know, we need to, you know, do a better job at learning the things that can be cleansing. There are some cleansers, even natural cleansers, that are in some of these foods and so forth. So Daniel chose those things. And we're told, if you read Daniel 1 verses 8 to 16, I'm not going to read it. If you read the whole story, you'll see that they actually, you know, did better. They looked better. They fared more sumptuously than the rest of the people, you know, and so forth. And here's a scripture that tells you that, look, you know, even in your eating, you should glorify God. There are certain things that don't glorify God, especially when we are gluttonous. That doesn't glorify God. And people who eat and eat and eat and just, you know, all the time, you know, I mean, it's not for a king to rise up in the morning and eat. Kings eat for strength, we're told in the book of Proverbs. But let me read you the scripture. I'm looking at the time now. Time is going. I want to round this up. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31 says, look, and it's a strange way to bring that into what he's saying in this chapter. It's a strange way. But he did say it. Whether therefore you eat or drink. Now, if you read earlier, he has been talking about, you know, making sacrifice to idols and this and that and so forth. But he said, look, these verses, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now, does your eating give glory to God? Check it out. Whether you eat or drink, what you are doing, does it glorify the Lord? Well, check it out. But this is a commandment that whatever you do, even in eating and drinking, do all to the glory of God. If what you are doing is not glorifying God, then you better drop it. Even in your eating, it might not glorify God. You know. So, we have certain responsibilities. I will continue the greater part of this lesson tomorrow. I'm going to talk more about the things that we need to do for ourselves, what God expects us to do. Now, there are sometimes that you will be sick, that you may need a physician also. Jesus talked about this in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 12. He said, look, I've not come to call the righteous, you know, so forth. I mean, but sinners unto repentance. Also, he said, look, to those people that are sick, that need a physician. So Jesus, first of all, by that statement, acknowledges that people can be sick. He's not necessarily talking about his own people that should be sick. He's just talking about people in general. You know, so, but in general, when you are sick, you know, you may be in need of a physician. That's what Jesus said. You know, they that be whole, well, they don't need a physician, but they that are sick. So Jesus acknowledges that. Now, when people are sick, they may need a physician. Now, when we are sick as the children of God and kingdom citizens, we should first seek to the Lord. Do the prescriptions that we have read here in the Bible. Let me close out with the story of a man. And tomorrow we're going to cover, you know, more about our responsibilities. I will also bring to our attention some things that we covered when we did the pillars of wisdom under the pillar of prudence, the things we covered there, the ability to manage our health responsibly by obeying God's health laws. We'll cover some of those health laws tomorrow. I don't have the time for that today. And we'll also cover things like, look, you can't be praying for God to heal your body and at the same time you're putting toxic things into your body. That's counterintuitive or counter to the thing that you're praying for. But let me give you this lesson. I'll end here with this lesson. There was a man, and some time ago, we did a lesson of the story of King Asa of Judah at one point. You know, all the things that he went through. At one point, he became very sick. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 12. He became very sick, very, very sick. You know, had this illness in his feet. I think it might have been what we today call it Graves' disease. You know, some of you have heard of Graves' disease. Well, I think this Asa guy might have gotten this Graves' disease in his, you know, I mean, there have been stories where, you know, that thing gets so bad, people, you know, they have to amputate. So this man, he got sick, 2 Chronicles 16. And it was really bad. And until he got exceedingly great, we're told. Exceedingly great. But let's read it. It says, and Asa in the 39th year of his reign, this is 2 Chronicles 16 and 12, was diseased in his feet until his disease became exceeding great. Yet in his disease, he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. So God wants us first. Always put God first in everything. You know, but don't put God first with a plan B. Say, well, if God doesn't heal me, then I'll go to the physicians. No, come with faith and he will heal you. Hallelujah. Now, but of course, God also gave physicians to help us. Now, this man did not turn to the Lord at all for help. He put all his trust in physicians, but he didn't make it. You know, perhaps if he trusted in the Lord. So there's a lesson that called it out in this man that, look, he sought not to the Lord at all, but all to the physician. Nothing wrong with physicians. We've just seen that Jesus said, if you are sick, you may need a physician. But God expects that people of the Lord to go first to the Lord. You know, go first to the Lord when you have challenges of ill health and so on. So that's, I'm going to wrap it there that for today. That's our lesson for today. Again, by the grace of God, tomorrow we will cover all the responsibilities that we do in health. I'm saving that for tomorrow because there's no time to do all that today. But today I have covered the promises that God gives us for health, for healing, and wellness. And remember, faith can be used for all three dimensions. You can use faith to get healing. You can even have faith in some of these promises I read today to believe that God will, you know, even take sickness from you. So that means you can be well. You can live in health. Faith. You can use faith for all those things. All these promises must, you know, be obtained by faith in our lives. But tomorrow we're going to deal with the wisdom part, which is the responsibilities that we have. Responsibilities to eat right. Responsibilities to know what we put inside our body. We're looking even at some of the, you know, what people say in science and things like that. And what's our responsibility? Well, there's also a responsibility for you to have faith. So we're talking about faith and wisdom in this series of our health and wellness. So we'll bring it all together tomorrow, you know, by the grace of God. That will be all for today. Let me leave it there. Tomorrow I will also give you an acronym that I've found somewhere that can help you with, you know, how to take care of your body. We'll talk about that tomorrow. You know, and last but not the least today, eating right is important, but if you indulge in, you know, riotous eating and drunkenness, it may even have spiritual consequences. We'll talk about that some more tomorrow. But here's a good scripture to think about as we close this. Luke 21 and verse 34 will tell you that, look, people who are, you know, just eating anyhow, you know, being gluttonous, surfeiting and drinking, they might even be in danger of missing the rapture. You know, wouldn't that be a terrible thing if it is my eating that will make me to miss the rapture? God forbid. Take heed to yourselves, Jesus said, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness, cares of this life, and that day come upon you unawares. You know, so, you know, carelessness in just overeating, drinking, and all these kind of things can even cause people to miss that day. That will not be your portion or mine in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for today's lesson. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Thank you for the scriptures and the powerful promises that you have given us for our healing, for our health, and for our wellness. And we know, Lord, that we have certain responsibilities that we ourselves must carry out in order to keep these blessings that you have purchased for us. I pray that everybody will receive understanding and everybody will receive knowledge as we go through this series. And Lord, I thank you for what I have said. I thank you for those that will comment after me. And some things that we will say tomorrow will come later. But we give you all the praise and all the glory for these promises that we have seen from the Word of God. And how that God has made us know that in God's mind, healing includes even keeping us from these sicknesses and diseases in the first place. And if they come upon us, he'll heal us and take them away from us. We give you, Lord, the praise. Give you, Lord, the glory. I pray over everyone that's in this room that may be going through or dealing with illness in their body, illness in inside of you, in the insides, illness in your eyes, illness in your throat, your breathing system, illness in different organs in your body, illness even upon your arms and your mobility and different things, whatever may be named in this room, the name of Jesus is greater. You know, different illnesses in the blood. The book of Joel says in Joel chapter 3 that the Lord said, I will cleanse you even of blood disease. That's right. You can read Joel chapter 3 and read verse 21, which is the last verse. For I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed. For the Lord dwelleth in Zion. Because he's there, he will cleanse the blood. He will deliver even of sicknesses, illnesses, blood diseases. He will cleanse it all. So I pray the cleansing and healing over everyone that's in this room. Son of righteousness, arise with healing in your wings over your people. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.